Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the White House Family Devotions. We thank God for your being here with us on this morning, as always. And we thank God for the many people who are interested in family devotions and starting their own family devotions and peeling off from us as well. Pardon me, but we are here for you anytime you want to visit with us. Donald Hoke said something very profound that I think we all need to take heed to. He said, only 1 out of 10 Christian families regularly has a time of daily Bible reading and prayer together. 1 out of 10. Without a doubt, there is more guilt amassed on the consciences of Christian parents regarding their failure on this issue than anything else. The way to having a real Christian home must include, as a major factor, teaching diligently the Word of God to the children and enforcing its commands. If they did so, Christian families in America would be raising presidents, senators, governors, university professors, and most importantly, preachers of great churches and ministries. If America is to be saved, it must be by Christian homes where God can mold the lives of the people through the Word of God and Christian discipline and training. And I concur. Holy Father God, help us in our Christian families to get back to the family altar. And we know that so many families are so fractured, so divided. The husband and the wife are so hateful towards one another and can't stand to be in the same room with one another, much less do anything else together, even with the children. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help them to understand that if they would force themselves to do the right thing, led by your Holy Spirit, whether they feel like it or not, they would be amazed at how the feelings would change under the melting power of prayer. And so, Holy Father God, have your Holy Spirit to rest the hearts of husbands and wives, especially the husbands, to lead the way on this and gather the children around for 5 minutes at least to pray together and to read a verse together and to look each other in the eye and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that we love God, we love Jesus, and we're going to love one another. And then, Lord, grant them the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. And heal marriages and families today so that they can last and get past the trouble and enjoy you and one another. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our devotional passage today is Psalm 31, 9 through 16. The Bible reads, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Are you in trouble this morning? You probably are, if you are a child of God. Trouble seems to find us. Most of us don't go looking for it, but trouble shows up. Sometimes trouble comes double. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. This is David at his best. For I have heard the slander of many, he said. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Amen and amen to the word of God. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, and I want you to pay close attention. Pardon me, because he'll help you to understand this passage even better, or more. David's troubles, he said, made him a man of sorrows. Herein he was a type of Christ, who was acquainted with grief. David acknowledged that his afflictions were merited by his own sins, but Christ suffered for our sins. David's friends did not give him any assistance. That's his friends. Who needs enemies when you have friends who won't help you? Amen, somebody. So let us not think it strange if we are thus deserted, forsaken by our friends. However, we have a friend in heaven who will not fail us. God will be sure to order and dispose all for the best. to all those who commit their spirits also into his hand. The time of life is in God's hands to lengthen or shorten, make bitter or sweet, according to the counsel of his will. The way of man is not in himself, nor in our friends' hands, nor in our enemies' hands, but in God's hands. Amen, somebody. Please join me in praying for governmental leaders and others around the world. We do this because of what the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all kinds of prayer, be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump. We pray that you'd give him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, leadership, guidance, and direction. Turn his heart to do that which is right for your glory, praise, and honor, and this country. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life blessings upon him and his family. And we pray these same blessings upon Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, Presidential Aides, Senior Advisor for Policy, Stephen Miller. And we pray for the salvation of all of these people, that they would come to know you as Savior for their own soul's sake and their own peace and their own joy, but also that they would be more apt to follow your leadership. And Holy Father God, we pray also for National Aeronautics and Space Administration Administrator Robert M. Lightfoot Jr. And we pray these same blessings upon state governors, Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, city mayors, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma Mayor Mick Cornett, U.S. Senators, all U.S. Senators, but today especially Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, U.S. Representatives, all U.S. Representatives, but today Alabama Representative Robert Adderholt, Police Chiefs, Washington, D.C., Police Chief Kathy Lanier. We thank you for the men and women in blue and brown, whatever color they wear. We thank you for these ministers of yours who are ministering the service of safety and protection and to serve. We pray your protection upon them, and we pray that you'll use them today across this country and around the globe to keep doing a good job. We pray for Santa Clara County, California Sheriff Laurie Smith. We pray for all law enforcement officials across the country and around the globe, and we thank you for them and for our military as well. And we want to include our military friends by name. And Lord, we thank you for our military as well, and we pray your blessings upon them and protection for them. And Holy Father God, we pray for the leaders of nations around the world. Today we pray for Brazil's President Michael Temer, that you'll lead, guide, and direct these leaders in the way that you want them to go. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership. Today we pray for the leaders of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, moderator Doug Deutsch, and we pray for salvation for some who may be religious but lost, and we pray for revival of those who are truly saved, and help them to stand for your holy word and to be a shining light and witness, Lord, for you. We pray for these current events that are happening around the world that are impacting thousands of lives that we know you care about. We pray for Christians who are being tortured, killed, and held hostage by ISIS fighters in the Philippines. We pray for families of three dead and 30 people missing in the sinking of a tourist boat in Colombia. We pray that you would comfort all of these people as only you can and provide protection for them, and Lord, raise up Christians to help. And Holy Father God, we pray for the families of over 140 people killed in an oil tanker explosion in Pakistan. Comfort them as only you can, and save those who are lost. And Lord, we pray that you direct the Christian aid that can reach them to reach them, and help us to support them or to go ourselves. We pray for safety, protection, provision, and deliverance for Syrian citizens who continue to suffer in the middle of a civil war. And we pray that you would comfort them as only you can and save those who are lost who are involved. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for persecuted Christians around the world, that you'll give them grace in their particular situation and protect them and lead them and guide them as well. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these prayer requests that have come in to us here at Gospel Light Society and Gospel Light House of Prayer. We pray for Cheryl, heal her mother of cancer. We pray for Tammy, bless her financially. We pray for Nalo, bless her and her children and deliver them from financial struggles. Heal her of the pain in her body. Help her to forgive her husband for abandoning them and to move on with her life. And help her to be spiritually healthy and devoted to you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Tanya. Bring healing to her and her daughter, and have their desires to be fulfilled. Resolve the negative issues with her neighbor. And we pray for Rhonda, protect her from all attacks of the enemy on her current job. Give her favor with man. Help her to find a new job doing work that she enjoys. Bring a godly Christian man in her life to marry this year. Help her to be a godly Christian woman. And Lord, we pray for Ruby. Give her healing in her mind and body. Deliver her from depression. We pray for Lois. Meet her urgent financial need. We pray for Teresa. Bless her personally, professionally, and in every relationship. Give her a new heart. Give her wisdom. We pray for Mark. Give him a closer walk with you. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people who have trusted you as Savior. Help these to grow in the faith and to become strong Christians. We pray for Daisy. We pray for Razak. We pray for Victor. We pray for Deshita. We pray for Melwert. And we pray for Mahesh. And we pray for George. We commit these souls into your hands, and help us to be the disciplers of the disciples who are getting saved. We also pray, Holy Father God, for the people who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. We pray for Don. We pray for Subda. We pray for Nami. We pray for Bobby. We pray for Patience. We pray for Rodwell. And we pray for Oyewo. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Our devotional reading for today is titled, Held by the Grip of God, by Oswald Chambers. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He goes on to say, never choose to be a worker for God. But once God has placed his call on you, woe be to you if you turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We are not here to work for God because we have chosen to do so, but because God has laid hold of us. And once he has done so, we never have this thought, well, I'm really not suited for this. What you are to preach is also determined by God, not by your own natural leanings or desires. Keep your soul steadfastly related to God, and remember that you are called not simply to convey your testimony, but also to preach the gospel. Every Christian must testify to the truth of God. But when it comes to the call to preach, there must be the agonizing grip of God's hand on you. Your life is in the grip of God for that very purpose. How many of us are held like that? Never water down the word of God, but preach it in its undiluted sternness. There must be unflinching faithfulness to the word of God. But when you come to personal dealings with others, remember who you are. You are not some special being created in heaven, but a sinner saved by grace. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for calling all of us to do something for your kingdom and for your glory, those of us who are saved. And I pray that you will help us to understand the grip you have on us and the call that you have on us, and help us to do your will and not ours, and to preach your word and not our word, so that others may hear from you and come to know you as Savior and be held by you as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ uttered these words in John 3:16 for you. For God so loved the world. That includes you, because you are living in this world. That he gave his only begotten Son, he was talking about himself. His name is Jesus. That whosoever, that means again, anybody, at any time, believeth in him, puts his faith and trust in him, should not perish, that is, should not go to hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. That is, in the words of Curtis Hudson, the gospel in a nutshell. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9 and verse 13, after growing up in church with two parents both of them being preachers. I never heard these words when I was growing up. But when Michael Lewis showed me that night, late one Wednesday evening, and these two verses, they stood out very powerfully to me. And I got saved on that evening, December the 19th, 1979. And you can be saved today if you believe these words. Romans 10:9-13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you understand that you are a sinner? And you deserve eternal punishment in a place called hell because of your sins. And Jesus Christ came and died for your sins to take your place because he loves you and he does not want you to go to hell. He wants to spend eternity with you in heaven. If you understand that, please trust Christ as Savior today and pray and ask him to save your soul. And he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked and evil sinner. And that I have done wrong in my life. That I have broken your commandments at times. For Jesus Christ's sake, your Son, our Savior, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe on this day, with all of my heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to change and forsake my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Holy Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Christ as Savior. You have done the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
He said he would. Like you said.